The Florida community of mindfulness is happy to make these talks available to you. If you find this talk to be a benefit, please consider making a donation to support us. You'll find a donation button on the talks section of our website, floridamindfulness.org. Thank you, and may you be happy and free of suffering.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. Today, this is a good day because our second floor on Great Cloud is going up. So it's quite a, for those of us who have been watching this over these past years, slowly take shape to see it finally really taking shape. It's quite wonderful. So it's now, I believe, full steam ahead, and hopefully it'll be done by June. We hope that's what we're saying. So we should be able to be holding our first retreats there this summer. So it's quite quite wonderful. Also, this morning is a family program and the teens, so they will be coming in at the end. So this morning I want to talk about a teaching that I've taught several times over the years, but I don't think I've taught it in several years, and I think it's incredibly relevant to what's going on in our world, to what's going on in our own country, our own political, social, all the stuff that's going on. And it's what's going on in the world is often viewed in modern times by taking sort of a historical view, kind of the movement of history, sociological view, all kinds of various views that we understand this movement of human beings. And so, you know, we have world history, we have the history of nations, we have the history, you know, gender and race and ethnic groups and religions. And so we have all kinds of, you know, very more and more complex and detailed ways to understand the unfolding of what's going on right now. But it's all describing sort of what's seen. You know, history is just what's seen. In the same way, we as human beings, we kind of see the behavior of each of us, but we often don't really know what's really going on with that human being. Oftentimes, we don't even know what's going on with ourselves. And so Buddhism, going back thousands of years, has always looked under the surface, like what's driving all this. So I ask all of you to just for a moment suspend all your views on the way you understand this world historically, sociologically, and all the various complexities of how we more and more compartmentalize our world and the peoples in it. In other words, more and more discrimination, more and more distinctions of, and to, I want to present a kind of a universality of human experience, actually transcends the human. And what I'm talking about is an ancient formulation within Buddhism called the Six Realms of Existence. Some people familiar with that? Some people. So this is an ancient formulation. If you ever go to Asia, or you go to, if you look in Buddhist art books, you will see something called the Wheel of Life. And the Wheel of Life is this representation in Tibet and Nepal and other places. They're always drawn on the outside of the monasteries as you come in, because they really depict kind of this world, but not in the way that we think of the world. Okay, and it actually has the whole cosmology of this unfolding. But in sort of the center are these six divisions, these six realms, these six, and they're drawings, so you can go look at them up. And so they depict kind of what can be, depending on how you look at it, kind of geographical realms, personality realms, or mind consciousness realms. Okay. And so there are six of them, of which the human realm, that's our realm, is only one. Now again, please suspend all your reference points and just kind of see if you can kind of understand this one, okay? Because I think it explains a lot that history and sociology and even psychology and all these other ways of interpreting do not explain. So I'm going to paint you sort of a picture. So these six realms, okay, they are the hell realm, the hungry ghost realm, the animal realm, the human realm, the titan or demigod realms, or the god-like realms. Okay, sounds very mythological. You may have heard those terms before. So let's look at all these six realms first. So sort of at the bottom, and it's really has to do with the degree of suffering. At the bottom is the hell realm, right? And this realm is delineated by constant, pervasive suffering of the most painful type, right? So in this realm, it is a realm of people who are in this realm, living in this realm, constant chronic anger and violence. To themselves and each other. All the afflictive mind states are just totally pervasive. They could be people who live in despair. You know, again, where the suffering is just pervasive. It never leaves, right? And they're, interestingly enough, in the old depictions, there are hot hells and cold hells, you know. If you live in Florida, when we think of winter, you know, we go, that's a cold hell, right? You know, but people in those areas, they might think of Florida weather as hot hells. So they're hot and cold hells. But I think of like people who are stuck in anger and rage. That's hot. That's a hot hell. People who are stuck in fear and terror. Chronic anxiety, that's like a cold hell. It's kind of frozen. It has no heat to it. So again, so there is this hell realm of suffering. And again, whether that can be understood psychologically, I think if you reflected on it, there are places in this world, right, in our own world, where people seem, you know, the geography, the place where they live seems to be a place where at this moment, it is sort of like being in hell. Right? So suffering, the hellish realms, this pervasive suffering of which there is no way out. It's just day after day, year after year, life after life, just continues. Now above them are these hungry ghosts. Pretas. And these hungry ghosts are very interesting. They're depicted as having these incredibly big bellies. Big bellies. Lots of room, right? And they have big mouths. So it sounds ideal for somebody who likes to consume. The problem is their throats are bigger than a pin. Like a very small straw. So no matter how much they eat, they never get satisfied. And so the hungry ghost or praetor realm is this realm of yearning, wanting, needing, grasping, desiring, that are never satisfied. So the hungry ghosts, the praetors, live in a constant state of dissatisfaction, unhappiness, right? Because their appetites are gigantic. They want. That's all they do is want. And it never is satisfied. So you may be already putting things together. I mean, the depictions are quite, you know, it's like, you know, they see a fruit tree and they run after it. And it disappears. I mean, there's a lot of kind of depictions. Okay. So that's the second realm. The first realm is this realm of pervasive, unmitigating suffering and pain. The second realm is this realm of unmitigating, unfulfilled desire. Okay? Sort of like the consumer society, we might say. Now, I'll skip the human realm for now. Okay? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot the animal realm. So hell, hungry ghost, the animal realm. Then there's the animal realm. Now, people who love animals, don't take this personally. This is kind of an old formulation. But in this formulation, the life of an animal, and this was formulated thousands of years ago, and I think it's still relevant, the characteristic of this realm is fear. Right? Animals in the wild are always looking over their shoulder. You know, there's always somebody trying to eat them. So they're never at rest. They're always looking around. They're always kind of skittish, right? So there's always that fear. But basically, their life is very primitive, right? They're concerned with primarily survival, right? Getting enough to eat and not getting eaten, right? So very basic life. And they're also concerned very much with what? Reproduction. If you ever, I saw two ducks the other day, you know. Right? I mean, I was right there. I was so interested, I kind of walked up within 2 feet of them. Didn't stop. I mean, it was, it was all consuming. So, so animals are very much, you know, it's a very basic life, right? Survival, reproduction, basic, right? And there are human, well, anyhow, we'll go into that. The other major characteristic of why the animal realm is a realm of suffering is animals, in most cases, do not have the capacity to reflect on their situation and do it differently. Birds are birds, and they do what they do. Squirrels are squirrels, jackals are jackals, lions are lions. They just kind of do it, right? And if things don't work, they just, they can't, you know, they don't have any ability to really reflect on their situation, you know, and go, you know, maybe we all ought to get together and we can kind of build shelters. You know what I mean? They don't have, you know, see these people over here with this fire, maybe we can invent, you know what I mean? They don't, in other words, and don't take this person, I mean, they are kind of dumb. I mean, but they're quite, you know, they have their good characteristics. But as a realm, there is this suffering, right? They're always day after day after day getting enough to eat, getting enough to eat, getting enough to eat, and not getting eaten. And when they're in heat, you know, reproducing. I mean, that sort of sums it up. Doesn't mean that they don't have other good times, you know. But is that so? It's not. So that's what's going on in the animal realm. Now, above them is the human realm. We'll just skip over that one. That's our realm. Above us, and just pay attention to, for those of you who read the newspapers or listen to the news, are the realm of the Titans, the demigods. And what do you think they're all about? Power. Glory. Right? You know what they love? Competition. They love the battle. They love the fight. They love the fray. They love power, and they always, and the other characteristics is they are jealous and envious of everybody else. So they're always competing with everybody. They're always wanting to put people down. They are very aggressive, right? So Titans are always, you know, they're always at it. They always want more, 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 more. See, but as opposed to the ones in the lower realms, these people get it. You see? The hungry ghosts and the people lower down, you know, they're always unsatisfied. These people get it. They get power. They get money. They get, you know, they get all the things they want. But, you know, it's always more because they're always jealous and envious, right? So they're always putting everybody else down and always trying to make themselves look better. Sound familiar? Okay. So those are people in the Titan realm, the Shura realm. Now, above them are the gods, the devas. And they have a very good life. They have good health. They have wealth. They have beauty. Right? And they live in sort of wonderful sensual life. They have beautiful things. They live in beautiful homes. They vacation in beautiful places. Right? Their life is very beautiful. And it's all concerned with sensuality. They also have a lot of pride. Quite proud of themselves and their beauty and their, you know, sort of like Hollywood, you see, sort of like celebrity realm or just that kind of. So this is the top, right? Right? Now, the suffering of the, see, the other realms is sort of clearer what their suffering is. The suffering of the Deva realms is not so obvious, right? Because outwardly it looks pretty good. It's like, who wouldn't want that life? The problem with the Deva realm and all their love of their, and they live a long time, thousands of years, healthy, beautiful, just enjoying things. But they also suffer from impermanence. So at some point they begin to age, right? At some point, begins to unravel. Actually, in the descriptions, it says, one day, for the first time in their life, they smell something. And it's not like aromatherapy, you know, it's not incense, it's not perfume, it's not roses, and, you know, they smell something. It doesn't smell good. They kind of freak out. And then you know what they realize? That it's them. They're beginning to deteriorate a little bit. And this really makes them suffer. And eventually they die, which is, you know, so that's kind of the suffering of these higher realms. Now, let's come back to the human realm. Human realm. So this is our realm. It's characterized by kind of desire. Human beings are always desiring something, right? You see, they're always wanting this, needing that, you know. They're just kind of very busy desiring things. And also the human realm is characterized by probably the most use of intellect. So we're able to think about things and discriminate things, and we're able to kind of think about all the dissatisfactions in our life, right? All the things that we want we're not getting, and all the people who we want to act a certain way who are not acting a certain way, and all the things that happened in the past that we shouldn't think should have happened to us in the past, and all the things we were, you know what I mean? So human beings are endlessly wanting things, right? And they use their thinking mind to just intensify their suffering. Now, the other thing about the human realm, and that's why it's sort of in the middle, is that, and again, this is part of a kind of belief in rebirth, the idea is also that the people in these other five realms are also kind of moving through the human realm. So in these other five realms, they're like pure. You know? People here are just suffering the hellish existence. People here are just suffering the hungry ghost. Here, the people are just animalistic. They're animals. Here, you know, they're just sure as fighting all the time and warring and competing and envious. And up here, they're just, you know, endlessly joining these heavenly realms. But what happens is these kind of realms come into the human realm. Okay, so there's a mix in the human realm that isn't in the other realms, which is very important to understand. So again, like the other realms, the human realm has its own suffering. I mean, we don't live a long time. I mean, impermanence is a fact of life. We get sick, we age, we die in a very short span compared to other kinds of experiences. As well as, again, as I said earlier, you know, we don't get what we want, and we often get what we don't want, and so. We have our own particular suffering. But the great blessing, the great gift, and why in this understanding of the six realms, why the human realm is considered the best place to be born, is because human beings have this mind that has the capacity to reflect on its situation, which is not present in the other realms. The other realms, they're just caught. We might say they're caught in their karma. Hellish beings just endlessly suffer and don't see a way out. Hungry ghosts just endlessly dissatisfied and wanting and feeding and don't see a way out. Animals don't see a way out. Demigods and the gods just do it endlessly, endlessly, endlessly. Right? Even though it's causing them suffering, they cannot see a way out. They cannot see another way, another path. Is that clear? The human realm, the most wonderful thing about being born a human being is that we have this capacity. So people in here who hate their mind, hate their thinking mind, hate, you know, our understanding, what you're hating is a misuse of this marvelous gift we've been given. Is that clear? Because we have the gift as human beings to reflect on our situation, which these other realms don't have. See, there's enough suffering to get us uncomfortable, but it's not pervasively suffering that we can't see out of it. So we have the ability, this incredible ability, to step back and reflect on life. Right? Oh, I'm not happy. Oh, I've been doing all these things that are supposed to make me feel good, and I'm still unhappy. Right? See, I can see that. I don't have to keep going, doing the same thing over and over, right? I can reflect on what's causing this, what's causing me to suffer. So we have this incredible capacity to see our situation, to understand our situation, to reflect and analyze our situation, and to see a way out, right? As well as we have this wonderful capacity to what? To look around at the rest of the world and the people in it and reflect on them and their situation and what's causing them to suffer. You know, why do they do what they do? Right? I mean, you know? I mean, we can look at what's going on in the world. We can look at the way people treat each other, you know, all over the world. They kill, they violate, they hate, they're intolerant. I mean, you know, we can, right? But why are they doing all this, right? Well, because we need to peel back and look into their minds. And these six realms give us a kind of template to see, oh, that's what's going on. Yeah, I mean, when I see our president, I go, Titan. You know, it's like, why is he that way? That's his consciousness, right? It's all about me, and get more, and aggression, and envy, and, right? I mean, so, you know, I don't have to attend to his tweets. You know, I know what he's up to. He's a titan. He can't see out of it. Right? And so many people in power, they're just titans. You know, what do Americans adore? Celebrities. We even have magazines about them. Right? Or magazines about beautiful lifestyles. You know what I mean? It's like, oh. Yeah. We think, for most people, the highest realm to get to is what? So human beings, what do I want to be when I grow up? I want to be a titan, captain of industry, a general, you know what I mean, somebody with power, and you know. Or I want to be what? Just have the most sensual life of pleasure that I could possibly have, right? Isn't that what, in the human realm, I mean, that's what, you see? We don't see the suffering there. We don't see the pain there. We don't see the delusion there, right? Now, we know we don't want to go down there. You see, but we want to go up there. And yet, if you see this not as a pervasive mind states, but as mind states, can you remember yourself ever being in a hellish mind state? Anger, or rage, or just overwhelming fear, or terror, or despair, and sadness that was pervasive. Can we not look back and say, yeah, that's hellish. Do we not know other people, right? Maybe people that are close to us who are in hell, right? In their minds. Not only, but some people actually live in a state where they're in a world where that's the way people are with one another. Yeah. Can we not remember a time when we have just so, you know, just so you wanted something. Right? It was overwhelming, this wanting, this thirsting. Right? And yet, always dissatisfaction. Can we not remember that? And can we not remember that animalistic mind state? You know, just, what? Right, you know, like those ducks, just about, you know, sex, right? And it's all consuming, right? Even somebody could be walking up to you and you wouldn't have noticed. You know what I'm saying? Or just surviving, you know, that's all life, very primitive. No higher order thinking or values or ethics, just surviving. Again, there's no ethical judgment here. So for those of you going, well, you know, aren't they causing, yes. We're talking about painful mind states. Is that clear? So please, for the moment, let go of all your historical justifications and rationalizations and just see these are mind states. And they are known to all human beings. Right? And for those of us who might have tasted even a small degree of power, has that not been a little intoxicating? Were we not quite proud of ourselves? Right? And at the same time, were we not a little paranoid? I mean, that's also paranoia is part of the demigod state. You know, they don't trust anybody. Can sound familiar? Yeah, because you know they think everybody wants to get their. They see the world as power, right? Power over. So there's always somebody who wants to get my power. And I want to get their power. Somebody living. So, you know, have we never known that mind state? And have never we known that mind state where we just, you know, we live for pleasure. Right? That's all I want. Right? If I could only live in a spa. Forever. You know, three times a day being massaged by aromatic oils. Right? You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be wonderful? New age music playing in the background. Right? Healthy meals just being brought to me. Right? Right? That's, even for a moment, haven't we known and said, wow, this is it. Okay? So please reflect for a moment yourself to go, yeah, I do know these mind states. And I do see them in my family and friends and in the world. And so, coming back to the human realm, it's like, you know, it's like, what do you call it? It's like, you know, like percentages, right? That if we can look at ourselves, we look at others, we look at ourselves in past and time, we see in this mix, right? Our minds may have a different mix at different times. You know, what is most predominant now? People often say, who are doing well, and then all of a sudden they say, I fell into this dark place. Right? Sort of like I just fell into this kind of old hellish place within myself. It's still there. All of a sudden I got into this incredible craving. Just disturb my mind, this craving. You know what I mean? So we, oh yeah, I know this, or I'm very proud of myself, very aggressive, and paranoid about other people. Just live for sensuality, live for pleasure. Do we not know these mind states? Right? So this is important to acknowledge that this is, if we strip away the historical and all the, both as individuals, as countries, as people, as whatever, this is what's going on according to this schema. This reveals underneath these very predominant mind states. Now, they're subsidiary mind states, you know, but like these are predominant. And I think it's a very helpful way to understand ourselves and also to understand what's going on in the world and why. Even though we outwardly make changes, we make policy, we do laws, we do all this, fundamentally it doesn't change. Why not? Because the minds are still the same. Is that clear? We still have many, many beings in our human realm who are just, you know, they live in hellish mind states. Doesn't mean we can't help them, but I mean, that's where they are. They live in this place of endless greed and yearning and grasping. They live where they're just, you know, it's a very basic kind of life. That's all they care about, right? They can't see anything. You know, people go, I can't believe these people voted for them because that person is not really going to represent their long-term needs. But they're not concerned with long-term needs. They're concerned with what? Right now. I mean, that's kind of a certain kind of mind. It doesn't reflect. It doesn't think about. It doesn't see cause and effect right now. Right? And when we get all upset, you see? We get angry. But, you know, that's a mind state. It'll never change unless the mind state changes. And again, there are titans and there are demigods also in this world. So, here we are as human beings. We are the only ones capable of even having this conversation. This is not going on in the spas. Okay? Right? This is not going on in the halls of power. And this is not going on in the animal or the hungry ghost or the hell. This has the possibility of going on here because we have this mind that can reflect on the situation of the world and the situation of myself, right? And can see the capability of doing it differently. Do you see the gift? Oh, you know, I as an individual right now can do things differently, right? And even we collectively as a human realm can do things differently, right? But we have to acknowledge, you know, the suffering of what's going on and the way we're doing it is not working and find another way. Okay? Is it getting a little stuffy in here? Maybe, yeah, why don't we put the air on? I think when we have a lot of people, it warms up. So before I talk about that other way, I want to leave a few. Are there any questions about what's been presented? Yes. Those are the four enlightened realms. Yeah. So actually there are 10 realms. Okay, but these are the ones right. And we want to, this is kind of helps us see what's going on now, right? So in the wheel, there are these, pictorially, there are these enlightened realms. And there is a little, if you look on these, you'll see like a little thread kind of coming out of the middle. It's like a little path. And there's a Buddhist monk there, very tiny, and he's pointing in that direction. I mean, it's very interesting. And then it's kind of, you see this little stairway going in another direction. Yeah, so forgive me. Yeah, so yeah, don't, yeah, it could be pretty despairing. I understand. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying. Exactly, right. Right, there is another way, right, or else this could be depressing, right? Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, so we'll get there. So, but any other questions just about what's being presented? Yes. You mean within the six realms, they're the ones that in a worldly way we aim for or people aim for. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so the question, thank you. So, yeah. No, they're telling me because it's being recorded live stream to repeat the question. So, was my answer to the first one self-explanatory? Okay. But this one, so the question is, well, if there are these, like within the sixth realm, these kind of higher realms, like the demigods and the gods, you know, why? And one can get there, why then do the self-reflection? Yeah, there's only one motivation, really. Suffering. Okay? There's only one motivation that really gets us off our butt, so to speak. And that is suffering. Right? Our own suffering and the suffering of those around us. Right? And the suffering of the world. I mean, to touch that and acknowledge that is the beginning of acknowledging that even though whatever I've done, right, it doesn't work. And the reason you reflect on the six realms is because those realms that appear, right? It's like, What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be what? Rich. I want to be a celebrity. I want to be a star. I want to be, right? I want to be what? Right? See, the reflection on these six realms lets us see they're suffering too. They're suffering too. You know, it's just a... It's just it's a nicer kind of suffering. Okay? Yeah. I mean, if you had a choice between being poor or being rich, from a worldly point of view, what? Yeah, it's certainly, you know, it's kind of nicer to have, a 5,000 square foot home and you know, your own private, you know what I mean? It's nicer. It's more comfortable, but those people are still suffering. Right? You know, this teaching pulls off the outer coating so we see what's going on. The rich suffer and the poor suffer. Now, again, you know, in a worldly way, is there a difference? Yes, of course. But the fundamental suffering is the same. Everybody dies. You know, doesn't matter how rich you are, how many homes you have, you're going to die. And you're going to have to leave it all. Right? There's no way around that. And your body's going to get sick. And you're going to age. You know? Doesn't matter how much plastic surgery you have or how much you dye your hair, you're still going to age. Right? You know, there's no getting around that. That's suffering. To know that no matter what you do, how much power, how much beauty, how much fame, how much wealth, it's all for naught. Right? Sometimes you can leave it all behind. And on the way there, right? I mean, is our president a happy man? You know, I look at those pictures, you know, like when they sign bills and they're all lined up there. I go, what a group of unhappy men. You know, look at them. Right? Now, I know there are more women joining them now. I hope they start looking better. Because, you know, so the reflection is to see, right? Yeah, that's all suffering. Right? That's the motivation. The motivation is the end of suffering. But again, remember we talked about there is that other path, there is the other way. That's the key point. Oh, there is another way. I can do life differently. The whole world can do life differently. You know, we could create heaven on earth. If we wanted to, why don't we create heaven on earth? Because of the six realms. Because of the mind states of people. It's all possible, right? People knock their heads. Why? Why is the world the way it is? Why can't we feed everybody? Why can't we house everybody, right? I mean, we have all the resources, right? Right? You've got to peel back and see the minds of people. That's the real problem in this world. Yes. Mm-hmm. Or just continue to do so. Let me repeat. So, all right, but go on. All right, yeah. Well, again, don't forget this is a schema. All right, so it's not subtle. Okay, it's just kind of depicting. So the idea there is. Okay, so the question is, do these people in these other five realms, is it only the human realm where you can get out, right, so to speak? Do the other realms not have the ability, right? Now, very interesting. The underlying message is no, left to their own devices, they cannot see their way out. Anybody know that? Any know people like that? Right? You look at their suffering, you look at their lifestyle, you look at the way, and you just go, you know, and people are also counseling them, right? You know, do it differently. You're just suffering. And what happens? They just stay doing it, right? Do you know people like that, right? It's pervasive. They do not see another way. It's like an addict, right, who's really in it. They do not see. Everybody else goes, well, you know, you can just stop doing that and start doing that, right? And yet, doesn't even register. It's all pervasive, right? Is that clear? Now, your question is, yeah, left to their own devices, unless they develop their own, right, reflective abilities to see, you know, Yeah, it will just continue. Now, there is hope. Because the interesting things in these depictions of the six realms, in each of these realms, a Buddha appears. A Buddha doesn't only appear in our realm. Okay? So there are beings who are willing to show up in hellish realms, to be with hellish beings. There are people who are willing to show up and be with the hungry ghosts and the prated people. There are people who are willing to show up in the animal realm. There are willing people to show up in the deva realm and the demigod realm and point another way for them. Okay? But left to their own devices, and again, we can argue back and forth, but it doesn't matter. You know, they don't get it. Just the way there are many people here, right? You know, you might say, gee, you know, this stuff kind of makes sense. Anybody thinks what's being presented today makes sense? Just a little bit? Yeah. And you might say, you know, gee, how come there are only 80, 90, whatever is here today? And how many are going to be at the Super Bowl tonight? I mean, you know, it's like, right? And then how many people are going to be watching? Right? And what's the Super Bowl going to get them? You know, a pleasurable experience, right? It's not going to make any significant difference in their life at all. But yet what? That's where everybody is today, right? Look, so what does that tell you? Most people, you know, at this point in our country are not interested in this, are they? They're interested in what? As the Roman emperor said what? Give him what? Right, give them bread and circuses. It hasn't changed. Most people, and I don't say that negatively, I say that with deep understanding. Most people, if they can have a full belly and they can be entertained, they go what? This is the life, right? Isn't that true? This is the life. It doesn't get better than this. And now I can watch it on a big screen in my own. I mean, this is like, you know what I mean? It's not that little box anymore. I mean, I don't know. Watch it on this big screen that gets bigger and bigger, you know, and right? I can watch movies anytime I want, you know what? Right? I mean, this is what? This is heaven. And I have this little clicker here that kind of makes me the king of the universe. I can go anywhere I want. Right? You see? I mean, that's the nature of our world. And it's called the world of suffering. Again, not because there aren't pleasurable things. The deva life is very pleasurable. The demigods, they amass their power and their wealth and their, right? They think they're happy, but they're suffering. You just attend to them. You just listen to them. Listen to the thing about our president, and I'm not in any way supportive of him, but I think the great gift he's given us, he has opened up to us the mind of a titan, right? I mean, he doesn't cover it up at all. Do you know what I mean? Competitive and angry and attacking, and, you know what I mean? It's like nonstop. I mean, I refuse to read his tweets, but I understand he tweets like at 4 a.m. I mean, he's like, I mean, there's a titan. There's no rest, is there? To get the mind state. It's a mind state. Whatever we think about the actions, where are the actions coming from? A mind state. Any other questions? Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. Every yeah. Yep. Then what? So the question is, so if we kind of accept this whole kind of analysis of what's going on, then what do we do next? Yeah, so there is another way, right? And we are fortunate that in our human realm, enlightened beings have appeared. And I'm not only saying the Buddha, right? Perhaps other great beings and, you know, have appeared, right? Teaching another way of living, right? Showing another way of living that leads to happiness, that leads to joy, that leads to, you know, acknowledging, you know, that we're all in this together. We're all brothers. You know what I mean? These are the teachings that these great beings, and, you know, why are they so extraordinary, right? Why do we still, you know, I mean, look at this. It's thousands of years later, and we still talk about the Buddha and Jesus and Muhammad and, you know what I mean? Like, because at some point, in this mass of ignorance, a human being appeared who was awakened and pointed out to people why they were suffering and showed them another way. Okay? Now the question is, you know, yeah. Well, but yeah, so let me just, yeah, so the question is it about telling people there's another way or showing people another way? So this is not about evangelical, you know, this is not about gaining converts. This is about telling and showing. I mean, that's the unique thing of Buddhism. Buddha is not just a propagandizer for the Buddha's way. The Buddha is an awakened being. I mean, the people, when he showed up, and I would imagine Jesus was the same, I don't know much really about, you know, the other great leaders, you know, they were living it. You know, it wasn't just their, I mean, if you look at their teaching, it's like, you know, there were a lot of other people saying those things, right? The difference was with these great beings is what? Their being. There was something about their being that when they spoke these words, it moved people. Is that clear? You know, I mean, if you read Thich Nhat Hanh, the Dalai Lama, these great, you know, it's like, you know, it's not as if they're not saying things that, you know, 10,000 other Dharma teachers aren't saying, right? And the Buddhism hasn't taught, I mean, they have their own uniqueness. But it's their presence that they incarnate these principles in their own being. And I think that's, so it's the showing by one's own life. I think that's most important, right? And then if you can show it because you've used these teachings and practices to transform yourself, you have become a peaceful, calm, happy, open, spacious, compassionate, wise human being, right? As well as you have the capacity to help others, then that's, in Buddhism, that's called the bodhisattva. You know, someone who is awakened enough that they can lead other people out of suffering. See, not just put a Band-Aid on their suffering. Right? Not just take care of one suffering like there's a list of 100 today. Well, you know, it's like, you know, gets to the root of it. Right? It's like in medicine, you know, you're no longer just treating the symptoms. Getting at the cause. And what I'm presenting today is the cause. We look at this world, we knock our head, we get angry, we despair, we get afraid, we get hopeful, you know. Buddhism, we say those are the twins of this world, hope and fear, right? We hope it's going to be different, but we're afraid it's not. Whether it's the world or ourselves, or you know what I mean? We're always going back. Hope and fear, hope and fear. Yeah. Getting beyond hope and fear. and demonstrating it in one's own life that one can change, one can transform. And we know that. I mean, all of us, whether it's personal, we all know people, right? We all know people who've I know people. To me, the most inspiring people, whether in our own Sangha or in the world, are people who come out of hell, who come out of a hell life, who come out of a hell realm in their life or in their situation and have transformed themselves. I mean, that shows you, right? I mean, people who've been imprisoned for years and gone down that road and came out of such pain in their life that led them, right, or into addiction or into, you know, criminality, all that stuff. And now they've awoken, right? You know, I mean, that shows us the power, you know, that the human mind has to transform itself, to heal and transform. So it's not like it's some, metaphysical, esoteric kind of religious, spiritual. It's very real. And all of us have that capacity. I mean, when Nancy invited us to bow to the Buddha, the capacity within each of us to be awake. A Buddha means what? Buddha means the awakened one. It's not his name. Buddha means the awakened one. He awoke to his own innate true nature, his own innate goodness, his own innate wisdom. That's what he awoke to. And that awakening is what each of us have within us, right? But it has to be cultivated. And the difficulty in our world is what? Endless distractions. Endless, meaningless distractions that we can occupy our time thinking, right? And yet, at the end of the day, the end of the year, the end of the decade, we still more or less find ourselves in the same place, right? Why is that? It's not because the way is not clear. It's our we just haven't gotten it yet. People who change themselves get it. I mean, I know addicts who've, I remember this, one of the first guys I ever met years ago. I mean, he was a mess. I mean, and I met him when he was in recovery, and he looked terrible. I mean, he had spent his whole life, I mean, he was sort of a hell angel by fighting and drinking and drugging and anger. You know what I mean? He was like, that was his life. He told me about it. And he said one day, I think he was in his 40s, he had done this for, decades. He said he'd been in some bar fight. He was trying, the whole deal, that was like the usual, evening out for him, And he said he kind of stumbled into the bathroom or something. And this guy, I don't know how many fights he'd been in. His finger, he was a mess. He said, one day, I said, drunk and this, I kind of wandered into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. And in that moment, I saw what I had become. In that moment, I saw what I had become. And he charted another way for himself. I mean, there it is. If he could do it, any of us could do it. I mean, most of us, haven't fallen to that place, have we? But sometimes, it's easier for somebody like that because it's obvious to them they're in hell. You see, we're in the human realm, remember? We got a little bit of everything. A little bit of suffering, a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of this, a little bit of success, a little bit of failure, right? So it's easy, it's hard, in a way it's harder to get it. So this reflective piece is so important to really reflect on our condition, the human condition. Then it'll be obvious. So I think the children are here. So please, they come in for those who are new and they just share a little bit and then we all sing the loving kindness metta song together. Thank you.